So we're gonna start off with Saint Peter. Any guesses?
Fisherman.
Good. That one's pretty straightforward. Very good. Saint Paul. Anybody got one for Saint Paul?
No? Yeah, good. We heard it. Evangelist.
So some of these, and just to kind of, like, some of them, there are saints with multiple patronages, so it's not like it's just one. I tried to pick some that are a little more unknown, some that are more relevant, maybe. So you could be right, actually. There's a couple on here that are the same. So, Saint Clement.
Yes.
Very good. How'd you know that? Did you look it up? Did you use Google?
Yes.
The fun thing about that one, so maybe not funny, but some of the saints have the patronage is the way that they were martyred, which can be either very cool or very scary. He was tied to an anchor and thrown off of a ship. Doesn't sound fun to me, but that's how we got connected to the sea. And just mariners, anything to do with the sea. Then Ryan has an interesting thing.
Yeah, so in Rome, which is where he was the fourth pope, and his is one of the oldest churches in Rome. And when I went to Rome a few years ago, I asked Father Tilly, because he studied there, I asked him what was his favorite church to celebrate or to go to Mass. And he said St. Clement. So I went there, and while you're in St. Clement's Church, it has all these really cool mosaics that tell the story, and they have different pictures that tell the story. So the story is, one of the miracles associated with St. Clement recounted in the Golden Legend was only once a year, the sea receded to reveal the temple where angels had placed Clement's body. And people would walk out to the temple to pray. Once a woman took her son with her, but in the rush to escape the returning sea, she forgot the boy and left him behind. The following year, she went back to the temple, knelt down, and prayed to St. Clement. When she rose from prayer, she saw a child asleep where she had left him. Thinking that he must be dead, she moved closer, ready to gather up the lifeless body. But when she saw that he was asleep, she quickly awakened him and, in full sight of the crowd, lifted him in her arms and left. So, pretty cool. Also, the artwork that you see usually has a way to depict how they were killed. So in this one, you can see the anchor. And then you can see he's holding a palm branch. That usually means that they died as a martyr. We'll call out some of the other ones if you see them in future paintings. But yeah, St. Ambrose, this is a hard one. I don't, if anybody gets this one right.
What?
No more answers.
Oh, well, yeah, you use Google, so it doesn't.
I thought that was the point.
All right, well, Aiden's going to tell us about it. Yeah. Right.
Well, the story on this one is legend, could be legend, I don't know. When he was born, some bees came and swarmed him, but they left honey on his face and didn't sting him. Take it for what it's worth, I don't know. But he was also very good. They called him the honey-tongued doctor because he was very good. A lot of the hymns that we sing still in church today are written by him. So he's very eloquent. He's the one who taught St. Augustine. So St. Augustine, also a very well-spoken man. So that's his connection.
I got one more on this one, too. Speaking of bees, St. Rita of Cascia also is associated with bees because at her cell, where she lived in her monastery, there was a beehive of white bees. And, like, actual, I forget the name of the people who study bees, but they went there and they studied it. And it's like, this bee is only found in this one location. And they leave throughout the year and then come back on her feast day, always in her cell, even to this day, which is pretty neat. Okay, St. Augustine.
Nobody answered on that now.
Okay.
Brewers.
Oh. Brewer.
This one was just
a theologian.
Very good. Yes. See, there's multiple ones for each one. But this one is connected to just his kind of profound conversion. I'm sure a lot of you have already read Confessions by him. If not, you should. He was a very worldly man, drinking worldly life, and then had a profound conversion and became one of the top saints in the church. This one is tricky. Amy.
Europe?
Yeah.
Got it.
Good job. There's also others too, that like St. Catherine of Siena, St. Francis of Assisi, also patrons of Europe.
This one is connected to his establishment of monasteries though. During the Middle Ages, 500s, 600s, established like all a bunch of monasteries and basically kept Europe alive. Anybody know this one?
Theologians.
So he is very much connected to the Arian times,
the creed
and all that. Yeah, so he's very big in combating Arianism.
St. Basil. No. Basil.
No. Very Arian and Levy.
Education.
Yeah, St. Basil has some great writings. Another very well-spoken person. All of these people were way better than us nowadays, but his book on the poor, he was very big on promoting the poor. He's a Greek father of the church, so. Thomas Aquinas.
Academics.
What was it?
Academics.
Academics.
Academics, yeah. Obviously, the Summa is very important to Catholic theology.
Okay.
Ken, kind of Europe. But is there another patronage?
She probably has a bunch. Nurses. Yeah, do you know why?
This one was pretty cool. I like this one a lot. Did anybody get this one? So hers is hospitals. So she was queen of Hungary, noble. I love when you hear about like the noble saints, just not like a clergyman or somebody like that, just a regular person, which when we go and do the thing after we eat, there's a couple, two people that are also non-clergy saints. But she had a castle, and at the foot of her castle there was a hospital, and she would go and serve the poor and the sick at the hospital. So just kind of cool to hear about royalty doing that. Albert the Great.
Scientist.
Oh, good, good. Who was one of his students, does anybody know?
Aquinas.
Good.
They said that St. Albert the Great knew everything, which is pretty cool.
St. Francis.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you know why? Anybody know why? He's, no? Somebody's got to know.
Talk to him.
Yeah, there you go. He can speak to animals. Especially a wolf. There was like a wolf in a village that was like stealing babies. And he just went and talked to the wolf, and then like the wolf like became his dog, so and stopped stealing babies. So, and he could talk to the birds, and he could like preach to the birds, and then they would go and like spread the message, which is pretty cool.
Anybody got this one?
Lost things.
Yeah.
What was it?
Lost things.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Yeah.
In Mexico. Single women use that
saint
to find husbands.
Oh, there you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah, actually, the icon has a baby, the baby Jesus here. You take them off and put San Antonio upside down.
Yeah,
so
you
get
down.
Your boyfriend.
Hey, that sounds funny, but me and my wife credit that. I was born on June 13th, which is his feast day. Her patron saint is Saint Anthony. And now we're married, so I don't know.
There you go.
Divine intervention.
Wow.
His patronage, one of his patronages, is custody of the Holy Land. So the Franciscans are the people who kind of take care of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the Holy Land. And during Ottoman Empire, World War I, a bunch of persecution was going on. They were very worried about just war, getting jailed, And so they prayed for St. Anthony's intercession and were able to kind of avoid all the conflicts that went on and able to escape that. So in 1920, the Pope Benedict IX, I believe it was ninth time, he gave him the patronage of having custody of the whole land. So I love this one. This one's so cool.
Kira, this one's yours.
I was wrong, I should academics.
Yeah, but what'd you switch it to?
Chess.
You should have.
Oh, it's chess.
I heard it, chess. Yeah, so St. Teresa, in her book, The Way of Perfection, which is good for everybody, another spiritual classic just to help everybody out. New, old, everybody. She uses a lot of analogies of chess, and in Spain at that time, chess was huge. It was kind of coming up, becoming a new game, popular game, so that she was the patronage of chess. So.
She's the original Queen Shaman.
There you go.
Okay.
Lawyers. Lawyers. Bosco.
I heard it. Somebody said
Bosco,
it.
Bosco.
School children.
Wait, did you skip
St. Paul? No, he's lawyers.
Oh, okay, I missed
yep.
that.
All right, this one is one of my favorites. Anybody get it?
Little flowers.
I can always count on that. He's got that Google. So the thing I find amazing about this one is, if you guys know Therese, she died at 24, and she probably didn't leave the 50-mile radius that she was born, and yet she's the patron of missionaries. She got that for, she wrote to a lot of missionaries, people, priests, other things, other people. This book right here, I know it's small, but it's called Maurice and Therese. It's letters between her and a priest who's just starting out. And I don't know if anybody has read The Story of a Soul, but that's her biography. Personally, couldn't get into it. She's, I don't know, young girl, I don't know. This one made me love Therese. She was awesome. It was much more real, I don't know, it was raw. You can see her interactions with real people. So a little less known than her biography, but it's very good.
What's it called?
It's called Maurice and Therese by Patrick Arne. He is one of the auxiliary bishops in New York. So it's his last name, the guy who kind of compiled it, A-H-E-R-N. Forgiveness, obviously her story. I know if you guys have heard Father Tilly, talks about her a lot, has a very big devotion to her. I think we're kind of short on time, so we're going to move past.
Yep.
St. John Paul II wrote a lot about families, very big with Catholic social teaching on how families should be.
I got this one. This is one of my favorite ones. So this is St. Joseph of Cupertino, also known as the Flying Saint. So if you haven't guessed it, he literally would levitate so frequently that his brother monks had to tie a rope around him and then tie it to the altar so that they could bring him down. Super cool. So if you go to his church, they have a statue of him literally flying in the church. Really cool.
All right, the one everybody's been waiting for. And I'm sorry, but when I first saw this, I was like, because I said a lot of them are like how they got martyred, and I was like, wow, this guy must have gotten eaten by caterpillars. But I was wrong. I'm going to let you down. He's just a farmer, and he's protecting crops. So if you need a connection, gardeners out there, you can use him. So I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, last question.
All right, last thing. We're going to be going to eat soon. Write it down on your paper, just a fun little thing. If you become a saint one day, which we all hope that you do, what do you think your patronage would be? And if you want to share, you can.
Anybody?
What?
Carrie, you want to speak?
One last thing I wanted to say too was just as we go and walk and find the saints, as people are searching for saints' patronages, like if you don't have a connection to like reading St. Augustine or something like that, or Count of Pillars in France, and, patronages are also one way that you can kind of find a connection or find their spiritual writings. And then Kira's going to kind of talk about what's coming up next that also deals with saints.
Thank you so much. That was very, very difficult. I didn't know half of those. I'm going to take some for my kids and quiz them.
Good.
Awesome. So after the break, we are trying something new. With our confirmation kids, we do a saint walk. We started it last year and we did it again this year. It's very popular. And it really has helped the kids find their saints. And I've heard a lot of you say, how do I find a saint? I don't know how to find a saint. What if I find the wrong one? Which I think is funny because, like, there are people in heaven, they're not going to go, oh, that guy? Not praying for him. Anybody you pick, we'll pray for you in heaven. They want you there too. But I wanted to, like, introduce you to some lesser-known saints. Honestly, some of my favorite saints. And Liz and I got together, and we were going to do, like, 10, and then we kept thinking of more, so there's, like, 16. There's actually 17, but one of them's a married couple, and you can't separate them. So there's 16 tables in the church. So after the break, I'm going to give you these papers after the break before you go into the church. And then what's going to happen is you're all going to kind of spread out. And you can be with people and find like a table and start there. There'll be a prayer attributed to that saint or to that saint. And there'll be some candles there, a picture of that saint. And then your pages that you have will have information about the saint. There'll be some music playing. And what we do with the kids is we give you some time to sit with them, and then we ring the bell in the church, and you pass on to the next, and we kind of rotate around. But if you are finding, like, I really like the saint, I'm really connecting with them, don't feel like you have to move on. Like, if you want to spend more time there, totally fine. There's no rules about it. Just want you to have the opportunity to really explore the saints. But spend as much time as you want, even offer an intercession while you're there. Church, you know, the saints are drawn to Jesus, he's in there, so take that time. I just want it to be really special for you. I'm trying to keep the lights low, but if someone's like, I can't see, I'll turn them on. But I'm keep it kind of like very reverent and want to be meditative. So with that, first we're going to eat, but I'm hungry. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we're about to receive from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, go for some food.